You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and the time now is 6:30 on Tuesday, and it's time for the next show, which is Dr. Mike's Health and Wellness. And we'll start with a little music to get you in the mood. Again, I'd like to welcome you to Dr. Mike's Health and Wellness. And this is, of course, Dr. Mike talking. And I'm an MD and a naturopath, so I'm going to try to guide you through this next hour to help you improve your health. And if you've lost your health, how to restore your health. So we try to give out some practical information here that will help you in this regard. And in the long run, we'd like you to be free of the control of the drug companies that have so much money, they've taken over the hearts and souls of the doctors in white coats. Not only that, but they've taken over the medical curriculum. And, you know, there's a whole long history of suppression and control from this quarter, as we go into another time. It starts way back with Rockefeller and how he was the main perpetrator of drugs. And from from his oil companies. The drugs were made, and in those days, totally from what was left over from the oil after they distilled it. And we do have a number here, and you're welcome to call in at any time during this show and interrupt what's going on if you have a health or a medical question. The number here is 831-427-3772. Again, that number is 831-427-3772. We do have an email, which I'm not going to be using tonight. But the slogan for this program is wherever you are on the scale, from animal-based diet to a whole food plant-based diet, we'd like you to slide over away from the animal-based diet to the whole food plant-based diet, because that's where real health is. And you can take your time doing that. Because all the science indicates that that's the direction to go. There's less sickness, there's more health in that direction. So you can take your time, go at your own pace, but that is the direction you need to go. Science proves that. Tonight we're going to have, for most of the show, we're going to have Dr. Michael Berger on the show, and he's... going to that song I was playing is Luciano Pavarotti, Ave Maria. So hope you like that. And we're now going to go into we're going to go into this. The first 10 minutes of his talk I've skipped over, because mainly it's showing people on a video the different foods that can substitute for the saturated fat and all the other bad stuff in meat. Incidentally, meat is implicated in cancer, and implicated insofar as it produces insulin growth factor 1 in the blood, and this promotes cancer. Cancer cells are formed in the body every day, hundreds if not thousands of them, and every day the immune system has to fight those cancer cells and annihilate them. And if it can't do that, they take hold and cancer grows. And cancer is a big problem today all over the world. As a matter of fact, recent statistics show that 1 in 2 men will be exposed to cancer in their life, and 1 in 3 women. So it's a really serious problem. And the insulin growth factor 1, or IGF-1, is 18 times more higher in the blood of a meat eater than it is in the blood of a vegetarian and or a vegan person. So you need to be heading over in that direction so you can lower your IGF-1 and thereby lower your chances of getting cancer. Also, certain animal protein like casein in milk and other animal protein promote the growth of cancer. And that's why there's a strong relationship between milk, drinking milk, and breast cancer and prostate cancer. So beware. Secondly, we all know of the cholesterol laden that you get with eating meat. Cholesterol is not found in animal plant-based diet, and it clogs up your arteries, as you know. So that's another factor. Yet again, inflammation is another major cause of all the illnesses we find in the Western world, whether that is diabetes or Alzheimer's disease or heart disease and a host of other diseases. Pretty much all the major diseases in the Western world are caused by inflammation. And motivated through a pathway called arachidonic acid, which causes inflammation in the whole body. And this is not just meat, it's also dairy and eggs do the same thing. And then a fourth major thing with meat is the fats, especially the trans fats. They block up the insulin sites in the cells, and you get insulin resistance, and that leads on to diabetes. So you're playing with fire if you eat a lot of meat. You're playing with fire, and repeat it again, you're playing with fire if you happen to be eating a lot of meat. All right, so hopefully I've answered a few important questions for you. And what I haven't talked about, Dr. Michael Greger, who's got a site on the internet called Nutritional Facts, and he doesn't promote any commercial interest. And he studies all the scientific literature on nutrition in the medical journal, so he's well up to date with what's happening. And we're going to go over now to him. We skipped the first 10 minutes of his talk because during that time he's mainly introducing different substitutes for different kinds of meat and stuff. So we'll play that another time.
When I give this presentation, I pass out little slips of paper to everyone, have them fill out, what they regularly have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then we kind of make a sample menu out of it. But these are some of the things that, traveling across the country, people say. So for breakfast, they're having bacon, sausage, bagels, some cereal. For lunch, soup, sandwich, hot dog or something. And then for dinner, it's, pizza, pasta, something like that. Hawaii was the only place where someone actually put down Spam for dinner. Let's pretend this is someone's food repertoire, right? So, sometimes they have a bagel with cream cheese, other times, whatever, throughout the day. And so let's go through the steps. Step number one, what is this person already eating that's vegetarian? Or let's say vegan, no meat, eggs, or dairy, all right? Vegetable soup, maybe. French fries. Not doing so good on step number one, all right? Well, let's try step number two. Maybe we'll have more luck, all right? So instead of eating bacon, this person could eat veggie bacon, this Canadian vegetarian bacon, zero saturated fat. Absolutely, it's amazing stuff. Fills up your kitchen with a whole kind of bacony aroma. Can't even tell the difference, right? Bagel with cream cheese, well, one can have a bagel with better than cream cheese, right? This is a tofutti product, non-dairy cream cheese. There's also, indeed, vegetarian breakfast links, vegetarian sausages. Let's compare this to the meat equivalent. A typical, animal-derived breakfast links has up to 5 teaspoons of lard in each serving, right? 5 spoonfuls of lard. And for breakfast, right, these have zero saturated fat. All right, waffles, well, Eggo waffles have eggs in them, not surprisingly, and so have saturated fat and cholesterol. There's a number of healthy toaster waffles on the market now, like these flax waffles, 3 times the fiber and just a fraction of the fat. Scrambled eggs, well, indeed, scrambled tofu. Doesn't really taste like scrambled eggs, but it's yellow. And tastes pretty good in its own right. So, cereal with milk. How about cereal with soy milk? Right? You can buy this right in the dairy case, right next to the regular milk, right? I mean, tastes great. It's just like milk. I actually like the plain flavor better than the vanilla, better than the blue container. But, this stuff has, all the calcium, vitamin D, and all that, right? But unlike cow's milk, has zero trans fats, zero butter fat, zero saturated fat, zero pesticides, no antibiotics, and no pus. There's actually a lot of pus in the American milk supply because there's an epidemic of mastitis or udder inflammation among American dairy cows. In fact, the United States has the highest upper limit of permitted pus cell concentration in the world, almost twice the international standard of allowable pus. That's like a drop of pus per glass. Now it's cooked pus, right? I mean, it's pasteurized, right? So it's probably not harmful, but it is kind of gross. Not only is soy milk pusless, but it also has zinc and iron and those wonderful phytoestrogens that protect you from heart disease, cancer, and osteoporosis, right? And it's organic. And even comes in chocolate. Oh, this stuff is addictive. Totally wonderful. You can also buy these so-called aseptic containers of soy milk. So this, you won't find this in dairy case. You can find this right on the shelf. You can keep these unopened for a year on your shelf, unrefrigerated, no preservatives again, but again, can be very convenient. Right? All right, waffles, well, Eggo waffles have eggs in them, not surprisingly, so have saturated fat and cholesterol. There are a number of healthy toaster waffles on the market now. So, for example, these flax waffles have 3 times the fiber and a fraction of the fat. Then scrambled eggs. Well, what about scrambled tofu? Doesn't really taste like scrambled eggs, but it's yellow and tastes pretty good in its own right. Moving on to lunch. Well, if you can make soy milk, then you can make soy yogurt, right? This is actually my favorite brand, whole soy. And again, half the calories, half the fat, zero saturated fat, no butter fat, no trans fats, unlike the cow's milk yogurt. In terms of a cold cut sandwich, well, how about veggie ham, veggie bologna, veggie salami, veggie pastrami, veggie turkey, even veggie hickory smoked turkey, right? And for those who like tuna salad sandwiches, there's even a vegetarian tuna called Tuno. Even says on the side, it says vegetarian, dolphin, and tuna friendly. I love that. And so you take your eggless mayonnaise, right, some celery and some tuna, and you have your egg salad, excuse me, your tuna salad sandwich. Everyone has their favorite brand of veggie dog. I actually like the Yves, Y-V-E-S brand, right? These have, you know, zero saturated fat. Compare that to like an Oscar Mayer beef frank, which have 3 teaspoons of tallow or beef fat in every single serving, right? Ugh. These have zero saturated fat. And then veggie burgers. Actually, my favorite veggie burger is actually these Boca burgers, right? Zero fat, zero cholesterol, compared to, for example, a regular beef patty, which has 8 teaspoons of tallow per every patty. This has zero fat. All right, French fries, not particularly healthy, but usually vegetarian. Chicken McNuggets, well, how about chicken-free nuggets? These, I mean, actually have like, it's like fake gristle with like tendons, ligaments or something. I don't know, but hey, if you like chicken nuggets, these have 8 times less fat than the nuggets made from chickens. All right, mac and cheese, well, how about mac and cherise? A person instead of mac and cheese can eat mac and cherise, right? This is organic, whole grain, 16 times less fat than Kraft macaroni and cheese, and this has zero saturated fat. So for dinner, this person, baked potatoes, fine, but instead of sour cream, how about, and better than sour cream, another non-dairy tofu-y product. What about Bakos, though? Oh, gotta love Bakos. Well, instead of Bakos, how about Bakos? You know, Bakos have always been totally plant-based, which of course just goes to show how little of the flavor of bacon actually has to do with, you know, lining of a pig's stomach. It's really just the spices. All right, mashed potatoes and gravy. Well, how about, this is actually one of my favorite vegetarian substitution foods, this Hain vegetarian chicken flavored gravy. Fool all your vegetarian friends. It has this really rich chicken fatty kind of flavor to it. Cheap, fat-free, easy to make, absolutely wonderful. I know what you're thinking, though. No giblets, right? Wrong. Vegetarian giblet gravy. Yes, I don't even know what giblets are, but it's got these like fake little squishy tofu things. I don't know. All right. Spaghetti with pesto. Well, you know, pesto usually has Parmesan cheese in it. There is a non-dairy Parmesan cheese on the market now. It has that same kind of moldy, aged, stinky smell, just like the regular stuff. Oh, I love this stuff, putting on everything. Spaghetti with meatballs? Well, how about spaghetti with Nate's Meatless Meatballs? Fortunately, they're all sold out at the store, so I don't have a package for you, but Nate's Meatless Meatballs. I take them to potlucks with me, just microwave and put toothpicks, have people dip barbecue sauce, you know. Everyone wonders where they came from. I said, no, I didn't bring it because they know I'm vegetarian, but they're ultra meaty tasting, great on spaghetti. Tacos, well, there is veggie ground round on the market, right? Zero fat, right? Compared to like 4 teaspoons of tallow in a serving of even extra lean ground beef. There's even a pre-Mexi flavored ground beef substitute that you can use. You don't even have to add the taco seasonings, right? And, you know, if you look clearly, you know, cholesterol-free, preservative-free, fat-free, meat-free, no E. coli, right? You know, I was actually going to bring some, you know, meat products so we can do kind of side-by-side comparisons. You know, take a chicken leg, and I can actually dissect it for you, show you all the tendons and stuff. You know, I don't call it gross anatomy for nothing, you know. But, you know, I didn't want to drip any of the chicken juice on anything, kind of contaminate the kitchen, right? I mean, chickens don't have juice, right? I mean, that's, you know, what's in that package is like blood and fecal soup. Let me do a quick tangent on food safety. According to the Centers for Disease Control, every year 76 million Americans get food poisoning. If you do the math, that's like one in four, right? Remember that 24-hour flu you had last year? Well, you know, there's no such thing as a 24-hour flu. You got food poisoning. Today's food safety lottery, we Americans have about a 1 in 840 chance of being hospitalized, and about 1 in 55,000 that we Americans will die every year from foodborne illness. It happens in our restaurants. Thousands of Americans go out to eat and kind of don't come back. It happens in our schools, tragically. The cases of food poisoning among American school children is increasing at a rate of about 10% every year, according to a recent congressional report. And it happens in our homes. Year after year, for example, USDA surveys show that 9 out of 10 Thanksgiving turkeys are contaminated with Campylobacter, the most common bacterial cause of food poisoning. And 75% of those birds are contaminated with two or more foodborne illnesses. Most often, Salmonella is the second one, and Salmonella is growing dangerously resistant to five major classes of antibiotics. Of course, there's still that jack-in-the-box E. coli 015787. You know, in summer 2002, ConAgra recalled 19 million pounds of beef in the United States, the second biggest beef recall in history. You know, my question is, where's the outrage? If 19 million pounds of beef distributed to half the country were infected with a deadly strain of E. coli by terrorists, we'd be going nuts, right? But when it's one of the most powerful corporations in the U.S., ConAgra, it is just business as usual. Now, consumers barely twitch when the corporate machine that controls our food supply ships out another load of meat tainted with feces. I mean, these are fecal pathogens. You know, we've come to expect it. We Americans actually blame ourselves for not sterilizing our meat thermometers every time we check to see if our fecal contaminants are done, every time we don't cook the shit out of it, literally. Yeah. There's no reason that anyone should get E. coli poisoning. It is strictly a byproduct of our intensive factory farming methods now. You know, ask yourself, is it reasonable that if a consumer undercooks a hamburger, their three-year-old dies? Is that reasonable? The meat industry evidently seems to think so, right? You know, undercook this, and, you know, maybe it won't be hot all the way through, right? Undercook regular ground beef, and your kid could die. And it is as simple and horrible as that, right? And you know, even if you do cook it all the way through, I mean, you're still feeding your family feces, all right? I mean, now it's cooked feces, you know, like the cooked pus, you know, but still, right? Yet another reason why I decided to only eat things that didn't have bowel movements. Okay, where were we? Sorry about that. Tacos, right? So we got our veggie ground beef. Well, certainly we have the you know, sour cream as well. You know, there's a number of non-dairy cheeses on the market as well that you can grate onto your tacos. Pepperoni pizza? Well, I usually just order kind of a cheeseless pizza with lots of vegetables on top and then put this on top, these veggie pizza pepperoni, right? It tastes amazing. You eat them right out of the package, right? You know, every single itty slice of regular pepperoni has a gram of lard in it, right? This is fat-free. Steak fajitas, well, you know, there's a new product out now, these steak-style strips, these seasoned veggie strips. Actually have this really kind of sirloin-y taste. Fun. I think it'd be great for fajitas, or you can just have veggie fajitas. Right, cheese ravioli, well, there are indeed non-dairy tofu-based ravioli, as well as veggie sloppy joe mix, but come on, there's no way that there's you're going to make vegetarian ribs, right? Well, you just have to kind of give that up. Actually, and again, they were sold out. You can actually go to the frozen, you know, food department of, you know, big natural food stores, and you can actually find these veggie ribs that actually are quite ribby tasting. And then in terms of desserts, there's a number of non-dairy ice creams on the market. I think my favorite is the Soy Delicious, most flavors of which have zero saturated fat. You know, you sit down to a cup of regular ice cream, and it's like sitting down to a half stick of butter. Right? Imagine like, you know, chewing a half stick of butter, right? This, zero saturated fat. And you know, there's, you know, non-dairy ice cream sandwiches, and non-dairy fudge bars, you know, and my Hawaiian vegetarian audiences were very happy to find out that there is indeed vegetarian Spam called Wham, if you can believe it. The bottom line, the reason I went through all that is because it's now easier than ever before to start eating healthy, to go vegetarian, especially now with these big natural food stores now. But even, you know, normal grocery stores now have a range of ready-to-eat vegetarian foods. In terms of eating out, there's more and more vegetarian restaurants these days, but even non-vegetarian restaurants tend to have veggie options these days, particularly, you know, cuisines from other countries like, you know, Chinese, Mexican, Middle Eastern, Ethiopian, you know, Indian, Thai. Restaurants all offer usually a good variety of vegetarian options. You know, there's even healthier fast food now. Burger King now has a veggie burger made out of, you know, brown rice and oats, right? McDonald's now is even test marketing a veggie burger, I think, in California, right? And, you know, Subway, you can get a vegetarian sub. Taco Bell, you can get bean burritos. Now, I mean, these are pretty slimy corporations in terms of how they treat their workers, etc. But, you know, it's nice to know that wherever you go, you can get healthier food. Now, if you notice, I never even got to my favorite step, step number three, right? I mean, new unexplored veggie dishes. Now, true, kind of from an animal suffering point of view, everything I showed you is perfectly fine. And from a health standpoint, I mean, you know, little or no saturated fat, it's healthier, you know, no cholesterol on this entire table. You know, but, I mean, cholesterol is made by the liver, right? Plants don't have little livers, right? So there's zero cholesterol in any plant foods. But there are cheaper, healthier ways to eat without so much kind of wasteful packaging. I mean, look at this, the French fries, right? Yeah, vegetarian, but not healthy, right? Even this, of all things, right? Even says all vegetable, right? But not healthy. In fact, I was just reading, actually says on it, not intended for use as spread on foods like toast and crackers. Ugh, right? You know, just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't necessarily mean you're eating healthy, right? You know, if you think about it, your body's only made out of four things, basically. Water, you know, sunlight, air, and food, right? You are physically what you eat, right? And so if you want a healthy body, you need to eat healthy food. And so in this next segment, I'll talk about healthy eating. One reason people go vegetarian is for their health. In fact, in the United States, people go vegetarian for health more than all other reasons combined. You know, so by eating these, you know, substitution foods, right, you can eat healthier, but if you want to eat healthiest, you actually have to eat your vegetables, right? And so particularly dark green leafy vegetables, so collard greens, kale, right, spinach. You know, I tell all my patients to eat dark green leafies every single day of their lives. Why do vegetarians have lower blood pressure, better blood sugar and weight control, lower cholesterol? It's not only because of avoiding all the bad stuff in meat, the saturated fat and cholesterol, antibiotics, hormones, mad cow, you know, but also because of all the wonderful things in plant foods. It's been estimated that if everyone just ate five darn servings of fruits and vegetables a day, there would be 30% fewer strokes in this cancer, in this country. Excuse me, 20% less cancer, 15% less heart disease, right? And that's not cutting out meat, that's not going vegetarian, that's just eating five servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Right? And a serving isn't big, it's like, a serving of fruit is like a fruit the size of a tennis ball or something. So, you know, a grapefruit or a big banana is actually two servings of fruit, and a serving of, you know, cooked vegetables is about a half a cup, about the same size. Right? And if you think about heart disease, cancer, stroke, I mean, those are the top three killers in the United States. Right? Imagine if there were a pill that could cut your stroke risk in half, your breast cancer risk in half, right? And only had good side effects, everyone would be taking, right? Some drug company would be making billions of dollars off it, right? But when that pill is eat 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, everyone's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which would cut your stroke risk in half, cut your breast cancer risk in half, right? Plants are storehouses of thousands of these so-called phytonutrients. Phyto means plants, right? These are special plant nutrients, right? What is in fruits and vegetables that's so good? I mean, is it the vitamin C, the vitamin E, the fiber, the folate, the flavonoids, the phytoestrogens, the beta-carotene, the antioxidants, lycopene, lutein, potassium? Who knows? Who cares? Well, the drug companies care, right? I mean, they can't patent a carrot, make $1 million off it, although they're trying, right? So they tried all these studies where they gave people, they said, well, we know fruits and vegetables prevent cancer, right? So I bet it's that beta-carotene stuff. So they gave thousands of people pills out of beta-carotene, right? Didn't help, right? Didn't work. You know, there are over 500 carotenoids, 500 carotenes. They gave people beta and figured that would work, right? I mean, they just can't find the right combination. So they tried vitamin C supplements, didn't work. Find vitamin E supplements, didn't work, right? They just can't piece it all together. You know, there's the multivitamin spectrum just now says, now with lutein, which is this wonderful phytonutrient found in dark green leafy vegetables that helps your eyes, according to Centrum, has 250 micrograms of lutein in every pill, right? One leaf of collard greens has 10,000, right? It's a marketing gimmick, right? So meanwhile, you know, all along, while the drug companies are trying to cram this all in a pill, we've known all along that fruits and veggies work. I mean, they are absolute magic, right? That doctors should be prescribing them, right? They're cheap, right? Doctors should be whipping out their prescription pads, right? And writing broccoli, 1 cup a day, unlimited refill, right? This should be everyone's multivitamin, right? Now, if doctors actually did this, though, they would have to describe all the side effects of such a regimen. Right? Side effects of doing this would include less mouth cancer, less throat cancer, less esophageal cancer, less stomach cancer, less colon cancer, less lung cancer, less breast cancer, less kidney cancer, less bladder cancer, less prostate cancer, less ovarian cancer, less endometrial cancer, and yes, less cervical cancer. That's what you'd have to deal with if you actually did something like that. The same diet that prevents stroke and cancer also prevents heart disease and diverticulosis and helps, you know, protect against dementia, macular degeneration, and emphysema. You know, just 1.5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day and you cut your risk of developing cataracts fivefold. Fivefold, 1.5 servings. Absolutely amazing. One of these days, the kale lobby will have a $2 billion advertising budget like McDonald's, and then you'll see some action. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, you should pile veggies on, dump veggies on everything. No longer should anyone eat spaghetti with marinara sauce, right? They should eat spaghetti with marinara sauce with lots of vegetables dumped on top, right? Never again just a bean burrito with a bean burrito with lots of vegetables stuffed inside. You know, baked potato, fine. Lots of veggies on top, right? Instead of, like, thinking pasta with some vegetables on top, you should be thinking vegetables. And, oh, look, there's some pasta in there, right? Or, you know, stir-fried veggies on brown rice. No, stir-fried veggies. And, oh, there's some brown rice in there. The World Health Organization blames low fruit and vegetable consumption on literally millions of deaths every year. You should eat fruits and vegetables as if your life depends on it, because guess what? It does. And it takes more than one apple a day to keep the doctor away. The National Cancer Institute just bumped up the recommended minimum number of fruits and vegetables from 5 to 9 a day, right? Thought you weren't doing so good before, now you're really behind, right? And why haven't you heard this, that is 9 a day now? Well, you know, the federal government spends about $10 million every year to teach Americans about healthy eating, right? That's how, you know, a candy corporation spends twice that just releasing a new candy bar. Right? That's what McDonald's spends every 2 days on advertising, right? So don't expect to hear about it anytime soon. Right? But why hasn't your doctor told you about it, though? Well, you know, odds are your doctor was never taught any of this, right, in medical school. Right? Less than a quarter of medical schools have a single course in nutrition, right? Out of the thousands of hours of clinical instruction, your doctor got maybe 3 hours were nutrition. There's actually a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which was this pitted doctors against patients head to head in a test of nutrition knowledge, and guess who won? The patients, right? person off the street knows more about nutrition, basic nutrition, than doctors, right? Yet people still want to, you know, healthy eating advice from their doctors, and what their doctor is telling them is killing them, right? And it wasn't too long ago that doctors were, you know, telling pregnant women to smoke cigarettes, right? Until your doctor learns more about nutrition, they're advising you about your diet is like physician-assisted suicide. Now, are there some fruits and vegetables that are better than others? Yes. Tufts University did a study of, you know, 40 common fruits and vegetables and measured their total antioxidant potential. Antioxidants are what protects us against aging and cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's and all that bad stuff. So the number one most powerful antioxidant fruit? Blueberries. Let's go through the top five. Blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, raspberries, and plums. The vegetable that won the heavyweight title for champion antioxidant of the world was kale. Let's go through the top five. Kale and spinach, first one and two. Again, gotta love those dark green leafies, right? And then Brussels sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, and broccoli. Right? So the best vegetables are the dark green leafy ones like collard greens and kale and spinach. The cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, and the deep yellow or orange vegetables like, you know, pumpkins, carrots, sweet potatoes. In the fruit department, other than those wonderful berries, citrus has these wonderful anti-tumor, anti-inflammatory flavonoids with original names like tangeritin or lemonoids like lemonine. And these antioxidant scientists don't strike me as a real creative bunch, right? And many of these citrus flavonoids, these wonderful flavonoids, are found in the white or pulp of the fruit, so it's much better to eat a whole orange than it is to just drink orange juice. And deep yellow or orange fruits like cantaloupes, apricots, mangoes also are particularly healthy. The key, though, is variety. Japanese dietary guidelines actually quantify variety. They recommend eating at least 30 different foods every day. It's kind of neat. Or you can try to eat the rainbow every day, right? Roy G. Biv, right? Eating red foods, orange foods, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. I don't know how many violet foods there are out there, but, you know, we Americans eat a lot of beige foods, you know, white rice, white bread, white pasta, white potatoes, you know, and scientists are discovering more and more these wonderful benefits of these plant pigments that make fruits and vegetables all those vibrant colors. We've known about beta carotene, that which makes fruits and vegetables yellow and orange. Now we're finding about lycopene. 2002, the Harvard study of 47,000 men found that those who ate lots of red fruits and vegetables, like, you know, tomato sauce or watermelon, pink grapefruit, had a third less chance of developing prostate cancer. No drug in the world can do what tomato sauce does. And now we're finding anthocyanin, the stuff that makes blueberries blue, is again one of the most powerful antioxidants we know. So why do I highlight dark green leafy vegetables, right? If all the colors are good, well, I'm blessed to live in New England where we have the fall, the autumn, and where all the leaves turn those beautiful, vibrant colors. Well, you know, where were those colors in the summer? You know, they're actually all there, but they were just covered up by the green pigment chlorophyll. And all that happens in the fall is the green pigment starts dying away and all those other wonderful colors comes out. Right? And so by eating dark green leafies, dark green leaves, right? You're getting all the colors wrapped up into one, right? You're getting your lycopene, getting the beta carotene, right? So you're eating the rainbow all tied in one when you eat your kale or any of the other dark green leafies. We're also finding that a number of the flavor compounds in food are also powerful antioxidants as well. So there's these compounds called gingerols. I guess they're found, right? And then there are these so-called terpenoids in fresh herbs. The top antioxidant fresh herbs are oregano. Actually, fresh oregano beats everyone else out. And then fresh sage, peppermint, and thyme. Right? And then there's the allium compounds in garlic and onions. So for maximum nutrition, you should eat colorful and flavorful foods. And wholesome foods, whole foods. Right? So for example, there are bad carbs and good carbs. Right? The bad carbohydrate foods are the ones that are made out of refined flour. Right? I mean, at least 25 vitamins and minerals are extracted when you mill, you know, whole wheat into white flour, whereas, and then five are chemically replaced to enrich it, right? The good carbohydrate foods, not the white bread, white bagels, but are the breads and grain products that are made out of whole grains like whole wheat and oats. Now, there are the good fats and the bad fats, too. The bad fats are the ones that are solid at room temperature, the saturated fats, right, which are found almost exclusively in flesh foods and dairy, right? So, you know, when you eat an animal, they leave a little bit of themselves behind, coating the lining of your arteries. Right? And that's why, you know, Johns Hopkins, you know, School of Public Health and 28 other public health schools launched this Meatless Mondays campaign, again, trying to get Americans to decrease their saturated fat intake, which, as they correctly note, is contributing to the top killers here in the United States. The good fats, on the other hand, are the monounsaturated fats best found in whole foods like nuts and avocados. Everyone who's not allergic should eat nuts or nut butters every single day of their lives. This new study came out of California, found that those that ate nuts five times a week, serving of nuts five times a week or more, right, had half the cardiac mortality, half the fatal stroke risk. You want to cut your risk of dying from the number one killer in the U.S., all you have to do is eat nuts every day. And for those of you worried that, you know, nuts will make you fat, actually, there's an impressive body of research that suggests that those who add nuts to their diet actually don't gain weight. And some studies actually show that people who add nuts to their diet actually lose weight. We're not sure why, whether it satiates the appetite or they just lose more fat in their feces. We're not sure why. But bottom line, nuts won't make you fat. You should eat them every day. Everyone should also strive to eat beans every day. What's so good about beans? Well, new studies just came out. Those that ate legumes, beans, peas, or lentils, at least four times a week, had 20% less heart disease. Not bad, right? Beans are good for your heart. The more you eat, the more... All right. So, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts, and beans. Right? So if you center your diet around these colorful, flavorful, wholesome foods, you are just going to be getting mountains of nutrition, right? Maximum nutrition. Right? And
That's actually the name of this talk, Maximum Nutrition. Okay, I hope you're enjoying Dr. Michael Berger's talk here. He's an MD. And he's an expert in the value of nutrition. We're going to take a little break now just to play some music. So we have Nana Nescuri. And she's going to sing a song called Over and Over. Over and Over. Goodbye. That's the refreshing voice of Nana Naskouri, a Greek singer. I hope you're enjoying the talk by Dr. Michael Greger, MD. His whole talk is based on science. So whatever you hear in this talk is actually comes from the scientific work done at hospitals and institutes around the world. So I think it's probably time to go back to him now.
And a bit we'll do the cooking part, and I'll actually show you how to actually make it taste good. But, you know, are there any nutrients that one has to worry about not getting enough of on a plant-based diet? Like, what about protein? Right? Well, you know, vegetarians get their protein from, you know, where big, strong animals like elephants and horses get their protein from plants. Right? Actually, American vegetarians, just like American meat eaters, get more than enough protein they need every day. Well, yeah, but is it quality protein? Right? Don't vegetarians have to, like, combine, you know, rice and beans or something at every meal? Actually, that's a myth, the whole combining proteins thing. In fact, the American Dietetics Association agrees that that's a myth, that this protein combining meals is not necessary at all. It's actually based in the 1920s on experiments on infant rats that found that rats didn't grow so well because they need a specific amino acid to grow their fur coat. But we're not rats, we don't need to grow a fur coat. Beans are just fine. In fact, you know, plant protein is not only fine, it's better. Right? Why? Because of all the baggage that comes with the animal protein. Right? Consider a serving of soy versus a serving of steak. Right? Same amount of protein, same quality protein, right? But the steak has 5 times more calories and 16 grams of that artery-clogging saturated fat. Right? Meanwhile, the soy is chock full of those wonderful phytonutrients like the isoflavones, these phytoestrogens, that protect your heart against heart disease, protect your bones against osteoporosis, and protect you against certain cancers. Right? Whereas the meat may harm your heart, harm your bones, and contribute to cancer. Right? There's absolutely no nutrient, no, you know, mineral, vitamin, protein, amino acid that's exclusively found in meat. Having said that, because of the way most of us live in this modern world, there are 2 vitamins that those who eat plant-based diets need to pay particular attention to, vitamin D and vitamin B12. Vitamin D really isn't a vitamin, it's a hormone that our skin makes when it's exposed to sun. Well, if it's the sunshine vitamin, can't we just get all we need by walking out in the sun for a few minutes every day? Well, not in most areas of the country, not during the winter, unfortunately. Most of the country, during the winter, the sun's rays are at such an angle that no matter how long you sunbathe naked in January, February, you are just not going to make enough vitamin D. You know, even if you do live in a place where it gets a lot of sun, you know, it's not so safe anymore to walk out and get a lot of sun because of the depleted ozone layer, right? So we need to get vitamin D in our diet. How do we do that? Well, there are, you know, cow's milk has vitamin D fortified. To it, but a lot of other foods too, like the soy milks and a number of the other plant milks out there. The breakfast cereals, you know, Cheerios, Raisin Bran, Corn Flakes, all have vitamin D added to it. Or, you know, you can certainly take a supplement or a multivitamin to get your vitamin D as well. Vitamin B12 isn't made by plants, isn't made by animals either. It's made by microbes, these little bacteria that blanket the earth. And these bacteria grow in the guts of some of the animals whose muscles we eat, or milk, or eggs they produce, can be sources of B12 for non-vegans. Now, it used to be in water, in the soil, right? Vegans probably used to get all the B12 they needed from, you know, drinking out of a mountain stream or drinking well water. But, you know, now we chlorinate our water supply to kill off any of the bacteria, so we don't get a lot of vitamin B12 in our water anymore. We don't get a lot of cholera either, right? So that's a good thing, right? But kind of bottom line, because of the way we're living in our modern world, you know, vegans have a tougher time getting 2 of the vitamins, the vitamin D and the vitamin B12, but, you know, nothing that can't be solved with a bowl of cereal. And then everyone, meat eaters and vegetarians alike, need to get enough of the minerals, zinc, iron, and calcium. Now, vegetarians and vegans don't have higher rates or worse rates of mineral deficiencies than meat eaters, but just because we don't have worse rates doesn't mean a lot, because they have such crappy rates in the first place. Right? And so the healthy solution is beans, greens, nuts, and seeds. But if you're not getting a lot of color and variety in your diet, again, one can go to the fortified foods like the breakfast cereals or, you know, calcium-fortified orange juice or soy milk. Right? And that used to be basically the whole story, right? Vitamin D, vitamin B12, think about your minerals, until these pesky omega-3s came along. There's a growing evidence about the importance of these omega-3 fatty acids in your diet. Right? Well, basically, there are good fats, there are bad fats, and then there are great fats, these omega-3 fats. In a nutshell, walnuts are a good source, but certainly dark green leafies have some as well. You know, non-vegetarians can get it from certain types of fish, but, you know, the most concentrated source of omega-3s on the planet isn't fish, it's flax seeds. I'll talk about how to use flax seeds in the cooking section. All right, so we've talked about some of the healthiest vegetarian choices. What about the unhealthiest? Like, what is the single most dangerous or toxic food or food ingredient in the American food supply? Trans fats. Right? There are good fats, there are great fats, then there are bad fats, then there are killer fats, these so-called trans fats. Trans fats are basically found only one place in nature, animal fats. Animal fats, which are already loaded with artery-clogging saturated fat, often also have these toxic trans fats as well. But now, thanks to better living through chemistry, the food industry found a way to create these toxic fats synthetically by hardening vegetable oils in a process called hydrogenation, which kind of rearranges their atoms and makes them act more like animal fats. Summer 2002, the National Academy of Science released a damning report on trans fats, and they concluded that the only safe intake of trans fats is zero. Right? The maximum tolerable upper limit of intake is zero. All right, so we need to stay away from meat and dairy, right? Deep-fried foods in restaurants, and anything that says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated on the label. Wait a second. The National Academy of Sciences says that the only safe intake is zero, and it's only found in animal foods and processed foods. Are they telling everyone to go vegetarian? Right, makes sense, right? Well, actually, they didn't. So they were challenged on it, and one of the authors of the report, a nutritional epidemiologist at the Harvard School of Public Health, responded to the challenge, and he said, quote, "We can't tell people to stop eating all meat and all dairy products," he said. "Well, we could tell people to become vegetarians," he added. "If we were truly basing this only on science, we would, but it is a bit extreme," unquote. I love that, right? Wouldn't want scientists to base anything on science, would we? No! Right? All right, just had to get that out. Diet, of course, is not the only component of good health. You need lots of fresh air, exercise, and laughter. You need to love yourself and others and what you do for a living. Wear your seatbelts, bike helmets, limit alcohol, quit smoking, and practice safer sex. All right, it's time to start making some of these colorful, flavorful, wholesome foods. Shall we? I mean, it's one thing to tell everyone to eat their dark green leafies. But, you know, what are you supposed to do? Oh, it tastes like grass. I'm going to show you how to do greens right. You know, I think people have these, like, traumatic, you know, memories from childhood of some cafeteria scooping out some overcooked gray lumps of stuff, right? And if you're thinking, oh, I hate cooking, or I love cooking, but who has the time? Everything we're going to make is easy, simple, yummy. All right, let's start with breakfast. You know, less than half of America eats what truly is the most important meal of the day. Kids who eat breakfast have better test scores, better verbal fluency, better eye-hand coordination. And you know, breakfast ain't just for kids anymore. Eating a healthy breakfast has been shown to improve mental performance, physical performance, memory, concentration, learning, right? And your cholesterol, and maybe even your waistline. You know, if you don't eat anything in the morning, your body's like, oh, maybe there's no food or there's a famine or something, and slows down and stops and slows the burning of calories to conserve its energy, right? But by breaking that fast in the morning, you know, break fast, you know, you tell your body, lots of food, nothing to see here, move along, you know, burn away, right? And you boost your metabolism and you boost your energy level. More and more evidence is coming out now to back this up. The 2003 American Heart Association conference, for example, showed that breakfast eaters were far less likely to be obese, right, or have diabetes or heart disease, particularly those that ate healthy breakfasts. And healthy, means eating whole grains. Whole grains, what, like brown rice for breakfast? Well, there actually is puffed brown rice cereal, but not like whole grain toast or whole grain hot or cold cereal. You know, oatmeal is a particularly healthful way to squeeze whole grains into breakfast. Your grandparents were right. Oats have this special soluble fiber that actually lowers your cholesterol, lowers your blood sugar levels, lowers your triglyceride levels, right? This soluble fiber actually removes cholesterol right out of your bloodstream, actually just sponges it right out of your bloodstream. A massive study of 22,000 people found that those who ate a bowl of cereal every morning reduced their risk of dying from a heart attack by 27%. Right? That's better than a lot of the cholesterol-lowering drugs, right? So, you know, do you want to take a drug every day for the rest of your life and risk liver damage, or do you want a bowl of oatmeal? Probably seen the
Okay, we've come to the end of the show, unfortunately, and I hope you enjoyed some of the information presented to you. The last piece of information there was about oatmeal for breakfast and how it decreases your chances of having a heart attack by 27%. I believe that's what he said. So that renews my determination to have oatmeal every morning. I hope it does the same for you. This program is archived at radioforall.net. So if you want to hear this program again or some of the older programs, you go to radioforall.net. For all is the numeral four, forall.net. And in the search engine on the right-hand side, you can put in Dr. Mike's Health and Wellness, Dr. Mike, M-I-K-E-S, Health and Wellness, and you'll get the older programs of the series. All right, we come on the air every Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Our lease here, incidentally, is ending at the end of September. And we need a new place, not only for to operate the radio from. We need a small room, maybe 150 or 200 square feet. And we also need a place, we need a place to put our aerial. That could be somebody's backyard, or it could be on top of a house, or it could be somewhere in that area. Our studio could also be housed in a shed in the back garden, and we can supply the shed if you can supply either the room or the back garden, and we would be willing to pay a certain amount of money. We can't afford a huge amount, but we can afford something reasonable. And especially if it's a shed, it's not going to interfere with your living space or your house, and you don't have to have an extra room. So that'd be great if you can help us, or if you know some friend who might be open to that type of help. We'd be very interested in that. And to do that, you could just maybe email Freak Radio. It's www.freakradio.org, and we can take it from there. That would be a great help, because we only have basically less than 2 months of radio space left, and if we don't find a place, it'll force us to go off the air, which we don't really want to do. All right, so you know where to find the archive programs. You are listening, of course, to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.3 on the FM dial. And you can stream this radio station by going to www.freakradio.org. And then when you see the image of the aerial tower, you press the red button on top of the tower and you're onto the radio. My programs, I have another program on Monday night from 6 to 8. It's called the Awakening of the Self. It's more to do with spiritual awakening. And then we have this program on Tuesday night, 6:30 to 7:30, which deals with how to become healthy, how to stay healthy, and how to stop yourself becoming a victim of the drug companies and the whole cartel with the medical doctors as well. All right, I'm glad it was nice. I'm glad to have been shared with you in the last hour. And hope to see you again next Tuesday at 6:30 to 7:30. And we'll go out with some music, if I can cue up a song. And it'll be Nana Lescuri again. This time it's a Greek song. I can tell by the music.
Κι εσύ πρωί και βράδυ σαν κρύδροσο στάλια. Ήρθες μια βραδιά με τον αγέρα, αναστέναξε κάρδια. Σου είπαμε λαχτάρα καλησπέρα και μου είπες σε χέρια. Μίλησέ μου, μίλησέ μου, δε σε φίλεις από χθες. Μίλησέ μου, θα σε ξεχάσω, Θεέ μου, μίλησέ μου, μίλησέ μου. Δεν σε φίλησα ποτέ, μίλησέ μου, μίλησέ μου. Μόνο στο όνειρό μου σε φιλώ.
I tried for this, and every chance at you I missed. I've been known to go my way, but I confess it made me miss you more. I I drew my line across the sand and set my flag in no man's land.